Hello, I'm Isaac.
And I am Josh.
And this is Bulletin Cast.
This episode, we are going to be discussing our school's massive achievement, the world-class school status.
Along with interviewing a few people about how it was achieved. So sit back, stand up, or do whatever you want, and listen to this episode of Bulletin Cast.
For those of you who don't know, Mr. Anderson is the head teacher at Bluecoat Woolerton Academy. We interviewed him about world-class schools. Here's the interview.
So, sir, why did you pursue the world-class school status?
It was what we probably called the next logical step. So we had already achieved the outstanding mark from Ofsted in 2018, in May, and then this seemed to us the next step. When I first arrived at the school, one of the things that we were really keen about was trying to develop student leadership, and that wasn't especially developed when I first came. We set up a number of different groups and tried to grow those over time and encourage students to do, and what the World Class Schools Award represents is exactly that. It's student leadership, so students taking the lead and developing and challenging themselves. And I think when you get students who really buy into their school and really believe in their school, then you're winning, and that's kind of when the school's successful overall.
Cool. And what will this in like overall bring to the school?
Well, it's a bit like a lot of student leadership in many ways, and I say this is the same when the head boy and head girl are elected as well. You get out of the kind of role, whatever you put in. And I think the truth is exactly the same with this award. What it gives us is a kind of a unique network, a network to a number of other very similar schools but across the country. And with that comes a number of student-led conferences, those symposiums, and they're kind of opportunities for our children to experience others of similar kind of like-minded projects and things that they might choose to go into. It also gives us access into a range of other awards, competitions and other bits in there in that network. So there's that. But I guess particularly if you're older or further up the school, there's the case for the kind of alumni bit in there. So really getting a group, you know, if you're really fascinated around the use of physics in there, and there could be the kind of a network in there and about how do you progress into those kind of university opportunities and then what that looks like there. So it's potentially a really powerful network, but again, whatever you put in is what you might get out.
Like, what stood out about this school? Why do you think that we got this reward opposed to other schools in our county?
Well, there's a kind of a selection process as part of that. I mean, we were nominated by another outstanding school. Rushcliffe helped support us in that in there, and you know, they've been very successful. They're a very successful and established school, and in comparison to us, we're kind of newer in terms of our progression of late. And that's helpful. Sorry, say the question.
So what stood out about our school? Why was it us?
So that's kind of the process about how we got into it. What stood out for us in there, I think she was very impressed about the kind of the pride in which leadership happened here, the kind of profile of that leadership in the school, and when they came to visit. Part of the assessment criteria is also a range of standards in there, so around behaviour, attendance and GCSE outcomes. So there's a plethora of things really, but those things are kind of attainment, and then once you actually visited and kind of assessing in there, the student leadership really stood out.
What does it mean to be a world-class school?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question, actually. Because what does it mean to be world-class? Yeah, and you'll notice how I took the school off the end when I said it there, and intentionally so. For me, the badge at the end is one thing. The product is the children make the school. And if you're doing things in there, there's a world-class education in terms of the standard and the expectation we might have. But it's also about, you know, what makes you world-class. And it's those kind of features or attributes of you personally. And it's year groups, and then it's the school as a overall. So it's students that make a world-class school, but it's also about kind of making sure that we as a school provide opportunities, but also that students themselves make those opportunities. So if there's things that they want to see happen, that they happen. Or if there's things that they think, actually, this school will be much better with this, they take up and they step those things, and that's what really makes people stand out. Okay.
You said that when we had the outstanding Ofsted, that you said that world-class was the next step. What is now the next step?
Well, in those kind of steps, there isn't. I don't think we just stop doing what we do, and effectively we just become very good at what we do. outcomes are outcomes, and I'll always say this, they're really important, but so is developing character and personality. And I think we have outcomes on one side, we have a real underpinning in faith on the other side, in kind of the moral development in there. So we're just really creating that opportunities. In the longer term vision for the school in our strategic plan, it's about how we kind of really help and support the wider community as part of that, but you'd expect no less as a church school, and trying to really reach out and be involved in those and be a hub really for other people to come and see some of that practice more widely.
Do you think that being a Church of England school helped us get the award?
I don't think, in terms of, in a straight factual way, no, because it's there's a list of criteria. But I think it's something about the culture which you can't measure in the same way in there. So I've worked in both. I started my career in a faith school and a Catholic school, and I've worked in a couple of other schools that weren't, and then I've come back to a faith school. They're very different to work in, and there is a real sense of belonging and family and togetherness and culture which you get in some of those schools, perhaps more easily or not, I don't know, but it really helps unite those, and I think our size helps the kind of that culture bit as well.
So will the status give us more diversity in the school, or...?
No, it won't affect. I mean, we have a published admissions criteria. It wouldn't affect any of those. I think what it has done is put us a little bit on the map. I think it will help with staff recruitment and when people are seeking out a kind of maybe a different type of place that they're looking for. So it might help us to attract a different range of staff, perhaps. What might be interesting, Stenton Primary School also hold the ward in the city, and they're one of the first primary schools to assess. What you might end up in a scenario in there is that there's the potential to, you might be able to attend a world-class school as a primary school and progress into one of those in the secondary school, and then who knows, into a sixth form later as well. So there's that kind of journey about what that network might bring. And we're also really hopeful, because we're also very proud about what we're doing here. There's a kind of a host school up in Hull, and there's one in the south as well. We're hoping to kind of fill that void in the Midlands and be a kind of regional hub for the award.
Will we have to go for the World Class School Award again years down the line, or will it just stay forever?
No, so we will have to go for it again, yeah. So it's officially valid for 2 years in there, so we'll certainly have to go for it again. In the interim to that, we'll probably want to start to select some students or get some volunteers in there to try to select, because students can also are part of the accreditation process, so they assess other schools in part of that. So we really want to get as many as our own people trained, and that will obviously help support our bid next time to make it much easier.
We're going to also, just before, have a bit about you for parents who might not know. So how long have you been a teacher for?
Oh, wow, that's a question. I'll probably give my age away. I'm trying to work that out now. That's put me on the spot, hasn't it? This is my 18th year of teaching. Okay. Yeah, so, and I started in Peterborough, teaching English there, and progressed in kind of second department, head of department over in Lincolnshire, and then assistant principal, deputy, into here. I was a deputy at a school in Cambridge, another outstanding school in there, and then chose to come here for this, because I thought it looked a very exciting job.
Why did you become an English teacher? Because, and what's your favourite part of English in the entire English spectrum, is it? I don't know, because there's a lot, isn't there?
There is a lot, yeah. I did English literature in there, so I'd say kind of literature bit in there. I really love poetry, I love Shakespeare text as well, so kind of, so I kind of like that, and the kind of language analysis a little bit that goes with that as well, I think, in some of those. So that's my kind of favourite bit. Why English? Again, it was something I just really enjoyed at school. I think when we say to the children about selecting your options, you will say, don't worry about what your friends are doing, don't worry about who's teaching it. We will say also, choose something you're really going to enjoy. That's what you want to do. Because, yes, there's a career path, but lots of things leave you really wide open. For me, PE and English were my things at school. They're the two things I love doing, and that's what I did.
Cool. I love English, but not quite PE.
Not a PE, okay.
Oh, you got something?
All right.
How long have you been at Woollerton doing the amazing work that you have?
This is my fifth year, so four and a half years in, as it were. So in the current year 11, we're in year 7 when I first arrived, as it were. Many more years to come, hopefully.
Yeah, you're great head teachers.
Flatterer.
Flatterer will get you everywhere.
It really does, doesn't it?
Alright, a thing which I think me and Isaac will do in almost every interview is have that one question which you ask everyone. What is your Hogwarts house?
Yes. Mm. Most important question.
Yeah.
That might make you really judge me in a different way. Well, I'd say two houses are a nothingness, so that's controversial as well, isn't it?
Yes, that really, really is. Especially if we are both in those two houses.
I'm always quite attracted. Maybe this is my little boy's the same. I think I'd like to be in Slytherin.
I mean, they are, in my opinion, one of the best houses. So yeah.
But Slytherin. Then my house is your least favourite. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with Slytherin. It's just the side that you see in the books is terrible.
Yeah. Thank you for your time. Thank you. That's everything.
Cool.
Welcome to Book Corner. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
As this was, of course, made by the Literacy Ambassadors, we were told we have to do something Englishy, so we're going to add a book corner.
Here we'll read a story from this issue of the Bulletin and say our book of the month.
First things first, the book of the month is The Boy Who Lied.
This book is fantastic. The first time I picked it up, I literally read it straight away. I couldn't stop reading it. It was amazing. The suspense and mystery is really amazing. I couldn't recommend it anymore.
It's definitely a good way read and worth trying out. Next up, a story from the Bulletin, The Lamb Mystery, read by Chris Johnson and written by Chris Johnson.
Hello? Is this the police? What is your emergency? Hi, it's Jeff. My mates and mine like to call me Jeffrey. I have a slight problem on my farm. I'm sorry, but if you want to call the farm council and to grow potatoes, I told to the police officer sternly. No, me matey, it's all my lambs have been killed. Dead zuz. Same at the rope with Jimmy and even further than that. All the way up to Mr. Binz's. Okay, we'll send our finest police officer up to you then? The police officer said sarcastically. If you won't mind, yeah. Me without the lambs is driving me crazy. Okay, we'll be over in a minute or two. Thanks. Jeff, or Jeffy, was a very rough guy. He struggled for money and paying off his farm was tough. He lived off wool he sheared off the sheep, so his life in the winter, when the sheep normally escaped his wet, rotten gate, his life was restricted. Especially since he needed the next generation of lambs, but they'd all mysteriously disappeared. Even Jimmy, even Mr. Binzer. The man was the best at lambs in the town. The butchers would always want his herd, but he always said no. They were his life. They were his woolly income, like Jeffy's. Is this Jeffy? Asked the police officer. Yes, you must be the finest of your species, answered Jeff. Excuse me? Oh, you are very polite. Excuse me! Oh, you're very polite. Even if you are the finest of your species, then you seem to be really quite dumb. Don't refer to me as a species, as I sound like a wild animal, and who told you that I was the finest of my profession? Your boss? He was being sarcastic. I'm only a constable, and this is my first mission. Very well. All my lambs have disappeared, and I don't know who's done it. They left the doorstep and ventured out into his acre-long garden. As they walked through, they saw a spilt glass of Vimto. That wasn't there a second ago? Evidence, perhaps, explained the police officer. Fingerprints, maybe even saliva. They continued through the garden. Mary! Screamed Jeff. Mary! He ran towards the dead lamb in the pen. He left Mary! Good. Good? Yes, said the police officer. We might be able to tell how this Mary character was killed, then follow the way its head points. Why? Catechized Jeff. Well, you can see the slight cut in the neck, probably from a knife. We'll follow its trail. So they walked on. On and on and on. Technically, they were trespassing over other people's farmland. They didn't care. This was their first mystery. This is his house, said Jeff. Whose? Asked the police officer. Mr. Binz's. Why would I need to know that? I reckon it's him. Okay. The officer took their little injected thing out of their pocket. This can read any DNA of anything that's injected in it. So we take some of Mr. Binz's and see if we can find out if it's on the lambs. Good idea. They knocked on Binz's door. Hello, officer, it's nice to... What the? Yelled Mr. Binzer as the injected thing stabbed him on the side of his head and had offered the police officer for a handshake. Constable Daniel Spark, it has come to my attention that a lot of lambs have been killed this summer. Jeff's, little Jimmy up the road, and yours seem to be unscathed. Look, eh? He chuckled. No, I disagree with you right there, Mr. Killing Lambs Binzer, said Jeff. Actually, it's Keith Binzer. And it shocks me how poor your lying is. How would it be coincidental that every lamb in the road except your lot rotten pumpkins has been killed? I don't know why. Do a check. They went home and figured out that it was Mr. Binzer. The punishment was prison, and Jeffrey and little Jimmy got their share of his land and herd. But it didn't make the news, so it was a claim to fame before the sheepless shepherd that Jeffrey never got.
So next, with the news, we've got Casey.
Spelling bees, charity work, big quizzes, early lunches and sweet treats all make up a world-class week here at Woolerton. There was also a tug-of-war. Year 7 to Year 10 competed. Mellor's second in Year 10, the highest finish in any sporting event. Some of our amazing students in Year 8 set up a coffee morning, running the bingo and quiz. They also organised baking cakes in school for event. Well done to our Year 7 girls football team on a wet, windy evening. Well done to Year 9 footballers, two convincing wins in one round of the City Central Venue Cup. Also, the podcast team got retweeted by BBC Young Reporters for our great work. And that's all. Thanks for watching.
Thank you to you for listening, and for Ben Sam for providing the music, and I hope that you enjoyed the episode, and see you again soon with another episode of Bulletin Cast.